You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all? Yeah.
I've never met kids about
they you. Ain't giving get up a second now. Thought about you. No. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell
ghetto
me.
People.
You gotta take a look at yourself. Yeah. Ghetto people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna
tell
be?
Me what your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a rare disease.
I'm running like a
ghetto
rare disease. Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing
ghetto
to yourself. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening Ashe. To Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. Good morning, y'all. Good morning, African world. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything was well with you today. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping to, the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it was not, and it had to get done, it must get done, it will get done. Because you have the will to do it. Ashe. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. And it's pretty much up to date, thanks to my good brother, Brother Kwaku. Yeah. So, yeah, we're going to have a good day today, family. Good day today. Talk about a few things. I'm going to play a piece that Mama Marimba sent me, Dr. Amos Wilson, and we're going to talk about that as a part of our discussion, and talk about the weekend, So other programming we have here, of course, on Time for an Awakening is this program. It's every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All times are going to give our Eastern times, and on Monday and Wednesday, this evening and on Wednesday, from 7 to 9, Our Story with Baba Wes Johnson out of New Orleans. Our Story with Baba Wes Johnson. Then, on Friday, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Friday at 8 p.m. And on Sunday, from 5 to 6, Pinckney to Pinckney, activist Reverend Edward Pinckney, Benton Harbor, Michigan, from 5 to 6 on Sunday. That is followed by Time for an Awakening at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Right. Baba Butch is on board. Now we can begin the program. Baba Butch is on board. Hope that got a smile out of you, brother. Appreciate you. Appreciate you, elder. Yeah. He is a good man. Yeah. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses. WeBuyBlack.com. Brothers and sisters, the Kwanzaa celebration is approaching. The holiday season is here. Shop and support businesses
that help support us. Brothers and sisters, if you can, I know you want to go to the mall, and there might be American African business there too. And if it is, please check them out. You can go to the New Black Wall Street, you know, check them out. But if you can't do those things, but you want to buy something, go online. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com. All right. Africa for the Africans. Africa for the Africans with Brother Brother Bomani Tayimba, my good brother. You know, Brother Bomani has been taking our people to the motherland for many years. And he has an upcoming trip. You know, he, he had really recently just returned, you know, and he has an upcoming trip. come on now. Yeah, right there. He had a trip to Kemet. That was November 20th to the December 2nd. His next trip is January 30th to February 10th. And that's going to Azania, South Africa. Yuck. Azania. April 4th to April 14th, 2025, Kenya. May 24th to June 5th, 2025, Ghana. And November 20th to December 1st, Tanzania. And, of course, there are more trips to be added and to come. And but give him a call. That's right. You can give brother a call at 404-931-9429. That's 404-931-9429. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. If you want to see pictures, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. And they're pretty much up to date about, you know, from his previous trips. He does that. He's pretty diligent with that. So you can check out the latest trip that he had in Kemet. I'm looking forward to checking that out myself. Habashaw. Habashawincorporated.org. Habashaw stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. And, of course, the Habashaw Works Program and the Kashi Project, Sustainable Seeds, Golden Growers, Back to Our Roots, all of these things. Habashawincorporated.org. The LEDGE Program. LEDGE, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. Brothers and sisters, the LEDGE program, and they have, I don't know what's up with my thing here, but yeah, somehow it's a little off, but LEDGE stands for the Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. I'll try to figure that out later. Okay. The Minister of Wellness, Brother Nathaniel Jordan, still in Kenya. But check him out. Go to his website, theministerofwellness.com. The Minister of Wellness, he has a fine selection of products that he sells for your health and other information. So go to his website, The Minister of Wellness. Another wealth program, a health program we promote is SMI Pharmacy, SMAIsarmacy. SmilePharmacy.com, Brother Jabril. And you can contact Brother Jabril at 770-765-7751. That's 770-765-7751. Smile Pharmacy, SMAIfarmacy. You can also go contact them through email. Email addresses, SMAIfarmacy@gmail.com. The Moses West Foundation. Brothers and sisters, this holiday season, probably the best gift that you can give is a donation to the Moses West Foundation. Because what the Moses West Foundation does is provide the essential of life, the elixir of life, water. Access to water is fundamental to life and prosperity, serving as a cornerstone for public health, economic development, and the sustainability of our global ecosystem. That's the UNICEF says that. UNICEF. Clean water access saves lives. That's the thing. You know, there's water. But not many times people don't have access to clean water. You know, when there's terrible storms, earthquakes, tornadoes, and, you know, the water system has a chance of being deeply contaminated and for some time, you know. That's just like when they had the train derailment in Ohio last year. And I asked Brother Apollo and asked Brother Moses West, if I took that machine, the AWF, the atmospheric water generating machine, into that environment, could I still get clean, drinkable water? And he said, yes, because the machine only deals with the HO2 molecule, and it kicks to the curb all the toxins and all the other bad stuff. And it goes through a filterization process. And then you open the tap, out comes clean drinking water. Yeah, the Moses West Foundation family providing clean drinking water to the world, but also to we trying to get African countries because, you know, but like everywhere else, every country needs access to clean drinking water. All people need access to clean drinking water. The Moses West Foundation.org. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar located here in Atlanta. In the West End, right down the street, across the street from the Soul Vegetarian Restaurant, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, which will have Kwanzaa this year, thanks to my good brother, Brother Kenneth Zaki of the Art Exchange. Yeah, Brother Kenneth Zaki. So they're going to have Kwanzaa this year at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Looking forward to that. I know you're looking forward to Kwanzaa. I'm going to start playing some Kwanzaa music. Yeah, I am. Even before Kwanzaa, so I'm going to get you in the mood. You know, play some Christmas music. Hey, I saw on Facebook, brother said, I love, you know, American African Christmas music. And I don't even think about celebrating Christmas, but the music is out. For many years, outstanding. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Oh, let me finish saying about Wadada's over on Abernathy. They have a fine selection of smoothies and fruit drinks and dry goods. And they even have vegan dishes for sale on Saturday and Sunday at Wadada's. So check out Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar located right on Abernathy. Or if you want to give them a call at 404-444-1635. That's 404-444-1635. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar on Abernathy in the West End. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Boy, I tell you, I love that Mama Nia. She's a good sister, man. She's at all kinds of presentations and book, reviews and so forth happening at the bookstore. Yeah, at the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, green cards, gift certificates, T-shirts, figurines, all kinds of good stuff. So give her a call at 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. That's right, Medu, the Medu Nature. Medu means writing. Nature means God, the writing of the gods. No, it's not hieroglyphs. That's Greek word. See, one program, we need to do that on the program just so we can separate words, you know? Yeah, let's do that. I've done it before. You know, I've been doing this now 10 years, so a lot of stuff. Well, I ain't done that in a few years. Let me do that. In fact, I just did that, something like that, last week. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar. Had a good time at the Black Dot with our good brother, Ayo Kamathi, you know, the irritated genie out of D.C., and outstanding information, outstanding presentation. Intimate group of us, not a lot. I wish it could have been more, but, you know, those who were meant to be there were there, and it was a very good group and a lot of good information, you know. I look forward to seeing him in a few weeks. He'll be here in Atlanta once again at the New Black Wall Street Market with presentations and selling his books and tapes. So you got to get them, you know. The Jews are the problem. And believe me, when he breaks it down, they is. Not that they are. No, they is. Jews are the problem too. The psychology of the Jew. So those two books and many others and other presentations. And man, it was deep. So I thank Brother Kazende Ajamu at the Black Dot. My good friend, always, if I ask to have something happening there, he always tries to accommodate. So give him a call at 770-765-7751. That's 770-765-7751. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, located in Lithonia. That's, you know, as well as the New Black Wall Street. They're located east of Atlanta off of I-20. You drive east on I-20, exit 74, and make a left. Now you're going north, and on the left, after a mile or so, is the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar. Now you head back in the opposite direction. You're headed south, but you make a left, so you're headed east again, and the next exit is exit 75, Turner Hill Road. Three lights, and make a right. And on the left will be the New Black Wall Street Market. I'm looking forward to having Kwanzaa there and seeing all the other brothers and sisters there. One of the sisters from who has a booth, you know, she says she's hanging on. She's hanging on. But believe me, brothers and sisters, when you go there, make a commitment to support it. Make it happen, because believe me, if we don't, it won't be. And you know it. These things have all closed down. I remember we in Milwaukee on the corner of 6th and Walnut Street. It was the northwest corner. And they had a motor lodge or, you know, housing. They had office building which had a bowling alley in it and all kind of office space and so forth, and they even had a liquor store. So they had three buildings all part of the masterpiece, you know. Now of course, me being who I am, even like I said, I've been who I am all my life, family, all my adult life, let me say it that way. When I began to embrace to be African, I embraced to be right on, you know? And I understood the importance of supporting ourselves, of buying with one another, recognizing the principle, the fourth principle of Kwanzaa, Ujamaa. And so I seen the supermarket that they had there, all of it failed. I seen the supermarket go from a big, large supermarket being chopped down to half to a quarter to less than even a convenience store, man. You know, everything failed, even the liquor store. Everything. The motor lodge became Salvation Army bought that, and they housed people who are homeless, and they just get it as a shelter, you know. The bowling alley became a hall that could be rented. They leveled it out, you know. And it could be a hall that could be rented. And they had offices upstairs, because when I was with the NAACP, their office was in that building. And really, who really got the building was the Prince Hall Masons. They got that part of the building. I don't think anything ever happened with the liquor store, man. It just was abandoned, you know. But that's what I'm saying, family. If we don't support, it is up to us. If you're anywhere between 30 and up, You've seen the fact that nobody's going to support us but us. And so we must do it. We must consciously and take the time. And even though it's going to be more, and even though you may have gone out your way, but ask yourself, if I don't do it, who's going to do it? I'm going to do it. Even if I know I did my good conscience, my African conscience, because of my consciousness. So, okay. Yeah, that was very good at the Black Dot this past weekend with Brother Ayo Kamathi, the Irritated Genie. We'll have him on, of course, again, and he'll be here in the Atlanta area at the new Black Wall Street Market. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Us Lifting Us, their Thursday night broadcast, every Thursday night from 9 to 10 on blogtalkradio.com. That's blogtalkradio.com /ULU, Us Lifting Us. Also, too, you can call in on that Thursday night broadcast. You can call in by dialing 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789 from 9 to 10 on Thursdays. Us Lifting Us. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, located in Macon, Georgia. Not open on Mondays, but open from Tuesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Brother Abijah's got it going on. If you're in the Macon area, please stop in and give him a look. He's got everything. He's got furniture. He's got clothing. He's got beauty product, jewelry, CDs, DVDs. He even has a vegan restaurant on the premise. That's right, Brother Abijah. Yeah, got the shea butter, brothers and sisters, the real good shea butter. Yeah. So give Brother BJ a call at 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, Macon, Georgia. Sun God Essentia, one-stop natural shop located in the Forest Park, inside the International Discount Mall at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, inside the Discount Mall, booth 225. Give Sister Shelly Amonset a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun God Essence and your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay-Haiti.org. Sister Gabrielle Aurelia, she has done an outstanding job with the children in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti, up in the hills. Sanjay, Sonjay-Haiti.org. Sonjay-Haiti.org. All right, family. All right. Baba Barudi and Mama Yah. You know, they got the school, so I ain't got to tell you. You know, Ackerman Institute and Ackerman House, and the work that they do, I'm singing their praises all the time. And they will be at the Black Dot as well for a Kwanzaa presentation. I think it's I think it was cooperative economics, but we'll find out. I know, of course, more to come. I'll be laying down information on Kwanzaa's. And, of course, we'd love to have the information on Kwanzaa's anywhere. Like, I would definitely promote the Kwanzaa on the 26th at the Wisconsin Black Historical Society, because Brother Claiborne Benson has been celebrating Kwanzaa and having Kwanzaa there for many years. Oh, man. I can remember some great Kwanzaa's there. I'll talk about it later. All right. So, the Inyasasim of daily revolutionary thought. Inyasasim of daily revolutionary thought. I don't have a December 15th. I don't have a color problem. I just see everything in black. Mubatu Baraka. It can become distressing having to witness warriors being attacked by their own because they refuse to love our enemies. They're attacking the warriors because they refuse to love the enemies. But we know the power and resilience of these who stand on our front line. We know it well. We know the beautiful quality of their vision, the progressive refinement of their character, and their earnest efforts at being righteous. For a fact, we know that it is unquestionable, even when assaulted by those who should love them more than any other. And knowing that removes the crippling effect of all the sadness, Ashe. Affirm, I see everything in black. December 16th. Any African man today who strives to be a man among men is singled out and accused of everything except what he is trying to do. Betty Shabazz. In attempting to absolve Urugu of their crimes against the universe, many of us will say, it's not just them, it's us. I hate that, man. We forget, though, that those among us who are this us are not us. They are minions, agents of Urugu. They have worked long and hard to lose the right and privilege to be part of us. That's right. We should know that in the end, dead skin is nothing more than dust in the wind. But because we battle so much and directly with those who are no longer a part of us, but who look like us, we forget their origins. And origins are always critical to a clear, uncompromised understanding of any situation or circumstance, and especially the form of any interactions fostered within it takes. So often, we overlook the fact that it is the nature of Urugu to hide behind Negroes when confronting derailing and disempowering Africans. We forget that it is the Negroes we daily face who are committed to shielding Urugu from any who look like them but would dare stand against the evil they love. Simply put, as evidence, in everything they do, the Negro's sole ambition and life's mission is to serve and protect the lives and lives of Urugu. So, we would be unwise not to expect Negroes to try to shame and silence us with the mutterings and frowns of disgust, as they were worthy of even the least of our respect. For who are the menticidal to judge the warriors? Why would we ever overlook the fact that the Negro's greatest point of pride is self-hatred? Self-hatred extends far beyond the self. Regardless, we know everything must change, and Negroes too shall pass. That Negroes too shall pass. I move undaunted, affirm, I move undaunted in the face of enemies. Affirm, I move undaunted in the face of enemies. Brothers and sisters, the Inya Sasim of daily revolutionary thought. Yeah. Yes, like I said, it was a great weekend at the Black Dot Cultural Center bookstore and coffee bar. It was a great weekend. And looking forward to other great weekends. Yep. Or weeks, particularly since the Kwanzaa is coming up, you know. Yeah. Yeah. And of course, if you can't get to a Kwanzaa here in the city of Atlanta, Milwaukee, Chicago, wherever, because, you know, when Kwanzaa first started, Kwanzaa was always in the homes. You know, somebody would say, hey, come on, let's come over here to my house. We're going to have Kwanzaa. We're going to celebrate Kwanzaa. I got the menorah. I got the Inkika. Kanara, menorah. Menorah is Jewish. All right, my bad. the Kanara. I got the Mishuma Saba, which are the seven candles. I got the Kagumbe Chai Umoja, which is the Unity Cup. I got the Vimbunzi, which is the fruit and so forth, the fruit and vegetables. Which is because Kwanzaa means first fruits of the harvest. This is a cultural festival. This is not a religious festival. You know, it's none of that. It's cultural. It is something that helps us understand what we should put into our daily lives to help us be better to each other, better to our families, better to our communities. Yeah. That's what Kwanzaa is. It could and should be transformative. You know? I tell you, I love Kwanzaa. Yep, I do. I love Kwanzaa. Yeah. So, it's December 26th to January 1st, the 7 days of Kwanzaa. Each day, we're going to, and of course, of how I do it, I will make sure that we get every day and discuss every principle and play the music of the seven principles. I played the "Hey, Come Together Now, It's Kwanzaa Time" the other day. Maybe I might play another one. Maybe I might play Teddy Pendergrass's piece. That's y'all. I might do that a little later. Yeah, so we prepare for Kwanzaa. I know it's early. I know it's only the 16th, but hey, it's coming. 10 days from now, the 26th. First day of Kwanzaa. Let's do it. Yeah. As I said, Mama Marimba sent me a piece. And it's Dr. Amos Wilson. And Dr. Amos Wilson, if you know Dr. Amos Wilson, he's a brother. If you read his book, Blueprint for Black Power, any of his books, man. See, that's what I'm telling you. When you embrace Africanness, when you embrace who you are culturally, who you are historically, and you begin to read, you begin to listen, you begin to go to programs, and, you know, it is an outstanding feeling, and it is an honor to listen to. Yeah. I love Dr. John Henry Clark listening to him. Man, when I first started hearing Dr. John Henry Clark, and in fact, next month, the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilizations, ASCAC, the Southeast region here, under the direction of Reba Kelsey and her fine work, and her father, Mo Reba Kelsey, who will be celebrating next year 100 years. Wow. Can't wait for that celebration, man. Believe me. But we'll be going to Columbus, Georgia. That's where Dr. Clark is buried. And we'll be having a memorial there, pouring libation and giving honor and reverence to in the work of Dr. Clark. And talking about the ASCAC conference here in this part of the country, some of the good ASCAC people, of course, the president, Mario Beatty, will be there. And, of course, the vice president, Brother Greg Kamathi Carr. And I know you've seen Brother Dr. Greg Kamathi Carr on, Karen Hunter's program and many other programs. Yeah, Brother Dr. Carrasco. He is. Him and Mario and Mario's wife, Delethea Beatty, they were at Temple when I met them. I met them at the Black Expo. They call themselves the New Jack Scholars. The New Jack Scholars. Yeah, I met them at the Black Expo. Had some outstanding conversations and so forth. Yeah, man, it was beautiful. I was embraced. Had opportunities, great. And then, of course, at the Black Expo I've been to like three of them, but there's one that I remember so well because of all the things that were happening, all the people that were there. Khalid Muhammad, Tupac Shakur, Tony Browder, Muhammad Ali, Muhammad Ali, and of course, Dr. John Henry Clark. And I had lunch with Dr. John Henry Clark, literally sitting at the feet of an esteemed elder and now a great ancestor, Dr. John Henry Clark. So, you know, I am a blessed brother, believe me, y'all. But if I have any height at all, it's because I stand on the shoulders of all of us who have made the trek to be African, who have toiled to go through all the problems, all the issues and things like that, to be African. And so, well, never had a chance to see Dr. Amos Wilson personally. I would have loved that, you know. Because I know when I used to go to the Black Men's Think Tank in Cincinnati, because Cincinnati Black Firefighters Association, along with the Black Police Officers Association, would have a thing in January around Dr. King's birthday. Also, at the time, a brother out of Cincinnati University named Eric Abercrombie would have the Black Men's Think Tank, you know? And so many of those scholars would come there. Naeem Akbar would come there often, you know? And I know Naeem, he's a good brother, you know? He would come there often. Wade Nobles, oh, so many others, man. Well, Malefi Kete Asante, you know, I could go on. Malana Karinga, I could go on. Well, you know, some I definitely have issues with, but that's so what, you know, be that as it is, you know, people have issues. So this is our brother, Dr. Amos Wilson.
The acceptance of reality, which I referred to at the beginning, ultimately must be the acceptance of oneself. The acceptance of reality, as Marcus Garvey recognized and projected, ultimately must mean the acceptance of our Africanicity, the acceptance of the fact that we are an African people. That seems a bit simple when we state it, and it seems a bit obvious. However, when you engage in psychotherapy, we recognize that sometimes you have the patient who comes into the office who is intellectually aware and can quite often lecture the therapist in terms of theoretical ideas and the theoretical ground for his therapeutic work, but who has not recognized and not confronted himself emotionally, who is not really in his heart accepted what he knows. So what I'm saying here, while we may recognize superficially and intellectually that it is important that we accept the reality of our Africanicity, we must recognize deeply in our hearts, in the very bottoms of our psyches, our Africanicity. To a good extent, a lot of the pathology of the African people today is this vain hope that somehow we will be able to escape our African heritage. That somehow the white man will become colorblind and will not see us for who and what we are. That somehow we will be looked upon as some kind of abstraction, as just a man, not as an African man, not as a black man, but as a man, as a human being only, without culture, without recognition, without identity. And too many of us want to shed our Africanicity for this kind of bogus, abstract existence, which is no existence at all, which is the ultimate acceptance of invisibility. We must recognize that we are an African people and we will be an African people to the end of time, and we must accept all that goes with that. We must accept the goods and the bads and all of the possibilities that goes with being African. We must accept the fact that this white man is never going to accept us totally and get used to the idea. Hope is a wonderful thing in some senses, but it can be pathological in others. The neurotic individual uses hope in a pathological way. He lives in hope and does not know when to give it up. There's a time that hope has to be given up. When one looks at reality and recognizes reality for what it is, and one accepts certain aspects of that reality and moves on it. The hope that this white man is going to accept you as his own is one of those hopes that you must give up. The hope and the dream that you're going to be holding hands with little white boys and girls, and that the white man is going to feed his children, feed your children before he feeds his own, that he's going to clothe you before he clothes his own, that he's going to give up his ill-gotten gain and wealth in the name of some kind of bogus brotherhood or classless society is a vain hope. Give it up. Turn it loose. And when you turn it loose, then you will see a growth and development of self. It would mean then an acceptance of self. And we see this then in Marcus Garvey, as he got us to accept and tried to get us to accept the reality of ourselves and the reality of our Africanicity. He recognized, as we must recognize again today, that we cannot get self-acceptance through the acceptance of another people. That self-acceptance can only be achieved through the self. We must not wait for our enemies to approve of us and to so-called accept us as a way of accepting ourselves. Because, ladies and gentlemen, our enemies, their very lives, their very way of life depends upon our non-self-acceptance. And if the foundation of their very culture and the foundation of their very economic and social system and political system is one that is founded upon the subordination of black people, then you must recognize that they are not going to give that up, or it would be like giving up their very lives and their very existence itself. And therefore, for us to wait around in the vain hope that through their acceptance we'll come to accept ourselves is to wait for nothing, because we will gain nothing as a result of this kind of illusion. And we see then in Marcus Garvey and in his legacy a confrontation with self-acceptance and what all and all that implies. He helped us to accept ourselves, of course, through a study of our history and in a study of our past. But as I will emphasize a bit later on, we will see that he did not get stuck in history, that he was very much in the present and very much into the future. He recognized, as we must recognize today, ladies and gentlemen, that we cannot advance the interests of our people through the imitation of our oppressors. Sort of reminds me of that movie, Imitation of Life. Assuming that the oppressor represents life. And of course, one of the things that we must recognize is that our oppressor represents death. That our oppressor is deadly. One of the things that impressed me most when I went to graduate school and then really had my first real contact with the white education establishment. And one day I was leaving the university and I could just kept repeating to myself, these people are dead. No. they're dead. There's death around them somewhere. And which is the reason why they are deadly as a people. And the reason why every advancement in knowledge for them is an advancement in the knowledge of destruction. And every advancement in knowledge is an advancement in the ability to kill and destroy the earth and to kill and destroy nature and to kill and destroy others and to rape and rob the earth of its wealth and of its people and of its life forms. So deadly, until now, they are having great difficulty even reproducing themselves. At the very center of their lives is death and destruction. We cannot imitate a people who are our oppressors, and we have this kind of silliness that goes on in the system today. You're going to complain on one hand about these racist people, about how they enslaved us, but how they exploited us, how they discriminate against us, and how they do this and how they do that, and then turn right around and see their behavior as something to be emulated. And to see their behavior as something to be imitated. Ladies and gentlemen, if you imitate your oppressor, if you identify with your oppressor, then since your oppressor treats us with disdain and degradation, and treats us with destructive impulses and desires, then will not the imitation of this oppressor mean that we will engage also in self-destruction and in self-degradation? If we behave the way our oppressor behaved, then won't we also engage in self-oppression? If we think the way our oppressor thinks, then won't we think about ourselves the way the oppressor thinks about us? If we talk the way our oppressor talks, then won't we curse ourselves the way the oppressor curses us? And when we ride these subways day in and day out, and we look at the behavior of our peoples in these communities, we can see a people imitating their oppressor. And in imitating their oppressors, they perform the work of the oppressor in terms of self-destruction and self-abnegation. Imitation of the oppressor then is equivalent to the treatment of the self and one's self and one's fellows as the oppressor would treat us. It is equal to the treatment of the self and the group in a destructive manner. It equals the lack of self-respect and respect for the group, since the oppressor lacks respect for us as individuals and as a group. If our oppressors exploit us, then the imitation of our oppressor means self-exploitation. So consequently, you see in the legacy of Marcus Garvey a moving away from the imitation of our oppressors and a moving toward the identification with all that is African. Marcus Garvey, of course, recognized as well that we must, as people, love one another. And as all great teachers have taught, love is the foundation for any group's cohesiveness and unity of purpose. Love is the greatest inhibitor of aggression and internal conflict. It is the means by which the group cares and shares for itself and shares its resources. It is the means by which the group harnesses its resources and defends itself against the incursions of its enemies. We have a philosophy here today, ladies and gentlemen, that only permits love to take place often for in terms of people outside of ourselves. in terms of people external to ourselves. At the center of the integrationist movement is this conscious and unconscious ideology that if we can get our enemies to love us, then we can get around to loving ourselves. But as I pointed out earlier, if the enemy's status, economic, social, and otherwise, relies on his cultivation and maintaining of a hatred toward us, then that enemy will never get around to loving us. And if we depend then upon our enemy loving us before we love ourselves, then we will never get around to loving ourselves. So consequently, we must forget about getting the enemy to love us and getting our oppressors to love us and so-called respect us. We must go directly and speak directly to our hearts and to our minds and love ourselves and love one another, because it is through that love that we advance our interests.
That's right. We advance our interests. We do for ourselves. Dr. Amos Wilson. We're going to take a break. We come back from the break. The phone lines will be open, 215-490-9832. We'll talk about self-love. We'll talk about what Dr. Wilson was talking about. And any other things that you want to discuss, I'll talk some more about the conference. And I got some things I want to put on you. So you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. Wait a minute, where that at? Here it is. Oh, yeah. All right, we'll be right back. You stay with us, okay? Okay, family. Yeah.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Yeah, thunder thumbs and lightning licks to Brothers Johnson. Yeah, but you haven't heard that in a while, have you? Yeah, you're probably right. Thunder thumbs and lightning licks. Louis Johnson on bass. Yeah. Oh. Okay, family. Get back to the discussion. I just wanted to touch base on this. I saw a piece on Facebook from the Britain's Got Talent. You know, Simon Cowell, America's Got Talent, Britain's Got Talent. This was Britain's Got Talent. And the brother, magician, Magic Bones. And what was interesting was the brother, he did a piece, magic piece. First he came out and went up to the judges, the four judges, and did a card trick. And then he did this main magic piece, which is a box. Put a lady in the box and the swords around her and so forth, and you know. And so let me set this for you, because to me, if you can go to YouTube and go to Britain's Got Talent and put in the brother's name, Magical Bones, and maybe you can find this piece, because this is worth it. This is deep. Now, if you like magic, I love magic, you know. My nephew, yeah, DJ, he does card tricks, and every time he'd be like, damn, Uncle Oshi, stop, man. But I love it. I love it. There was a brother, one of our firefighters, used to do card tricks as well. Yeah, out of Peoria. Yeah, love it. And so Magical Bones, let me set the stage for you. After he does the card trick, which is deep, he points to the stage, and this is a tribute to Henry Box Brown. If you're not familiar with Henry Box Brown, Henry Box Brown was the brother that during in captivity put himself in a box and mailed himself to freedom. If some of you don't remember that, yeah. Henry Box Brown. Mm-hmm. They even have the magician here, if you look it up. Henry Box Brown. Yeah. Yeah. And the magician and what he did. Henry Box Brown was an enslaved man. Let me read this to you so you can. Henry Box Brown. That's why this tribute is so deep, and it is when I give it to you. Henry Box Brown was an enslaved African man who shipped himself to freedom in a wooden box. He developed his published slave narrative into an anti-slavery stage show. Yeah. Henry Box Brown was born enslaved in Virginia on a plantation in 1815. After his family was sold, Brown committed himself to escaping from bondage. He had himself shipped in a wooden box from Virginia to Philadelphia, where slavery had been abolished. Brown was subsequently the subject of a popular slave narrative, which he adapted on a stage show. The details of his death are unknown, but that's what happened to Henry Box Brown. And this brother took it to another level with the magic piece. Like Brown did it. So now you picture the box, and there's two young ladies. One lady is by where the judges are. She's blonde-haired. She has a black hoodie on and a, what color? I can't remember. I think it's a yellow scarf. There's another young lady. She gets into the box that's on the stage, and they put the swords in, you know. And he tells the narrative. He tells the story about him. He box bound to the audience. And so once it's ready, now the cover's over it. He takes off his shirt and so forth. Not his shirt, but his hoodie that he had on. And he gets up on where the box is, and then the curtain's there. And then, bam, the young lady who was in the box now was outside of the box. And they reveal the box, and they show that, and of course, I'm quite sure you think it's him because he was behind it, and bam, he vanishes, and she appears, you know. They begin to take the swords out of it that the first young lady, the brunette or the dark-haired lady who was in the box, they're taking the swords out. And so then when the lady in the box stands up after the swords have been taken out, she stands up. She turns around to the audience. She takes her hoodie off. It's the blonde lady who was by the judges. And then they turn to the person who is on the left side of the judges, right by Simon Cowell and all the other three judges. He pulls his hoodie down. It's him. It's him. You know, I tell you how this, everybody is stunned. Everybody is stunned. The audience is gasping. Simon Cowell is like, what the hell? All the judges, then they have to give them a standing ovation. If you go to YouTube, my suggestion would be to put in Magical Bones, put in Britain's Got Talent, magician disappears in front of the audience, Magical Bones, so you can get the piece. See, there's another piece that he did too that comes up, Casting a Spell and so forth. But I tell you, I had to watch it three times. But it's cold. It is cold. So, if you like magic, there that is. Yeah. Still talking about what Dr. Amos Wilson was talking about and how we have been played so deeply by Urugu. No, and that we do his bidding. And I know, I always say, family, because imitating the enemy is death. And well, that's, of all our studies, Malcolm said, of all our studies, history is best qualified to reward our research. I say it all the time. Look at the history of Urugu. Look at the history of the European. Look at the history of the Caucasian. Look at the history of the white man. I don't give a damn which words you want to use. Look at their history as it relates to us specifically. Look at their evolutionary development. It will tell you. Yes, we can all say that life began in Central East Africa, migrates from that point, but what they experienced caused them to be different and caused them to have an adverse effect against all humanity. Their evolutionary development was retarded. That's why they're called Urugu. Because if you get Marimba Ani's book, Urugu, subtitled An African-Centered Critique of European cultural thought and behavior. Why they do and act the way they do. Why they behave the way they behave. Why are they, just as Dr. Wilson said, everything is about death to them. Everything they touch. Look at the planet today. Look how arrogant they are about it still. When we know the planet, what you see in terms of global catastrophes of climate change, or back when I read the article back in the 80s at the firehouse, and that's where I usually read a lot, at the firehouse. When you're there at the firehouse, you might as well read. Yeah. I thank God for the firehouse, really, and for the being on the fire department. It helped me travel the world, helped me be who part of who I am, and reading at the firehouse, the history of our people. Oh, no, they didn't like me. No, they didn't. I wouldn't no go along to get along Negro. I checked their ass. No, they didn't like me. Yeah. And so the article said, if you don't change behavior, if you don't check what you're doing, the consequences in the future could be deep. These are some of the things that could happen. And man, they're happening. See, one of the things when you labeled it global warming and you saw there were some cold days, even some cold days when maybe it was springtime. So that global warming is bull. No, it's climate change. And what climate change meant was when you messed up the ecology, when you messed up the planet, you developed extremes in weather. Extremes in weather. Extreme cold for a longer period. Extreme hot for a longer period. Hurricanes, longer period. Tornadoes, more ravishing, more energy, more visceral. Earthquakes, all these calamities. This is what will happen if you don't eliminate the greenhouse gas effects and all the other things associated with climate change. And of course, oil. That was the deal. This is the reason why. And yet, they continue to drill. Oh, I hate Donald Trump. All of them, Ronald Reagan, all of them, all these so-called conservatives. Jimmy Carter had put solar panels on the White House roof, saying that, hey, we need to get away from and develop a better energy source. The first thing Ronald Reagan did when he became president in 1980, take the solar panels off and cut a deal. And they cut a deal. The big oil companies cut a deal with solar and wind to buy them out. They should have been adamant and say, no, man, this is the future. We're going to do that. I know you got deep pockets, but we're going to challenge you. But they didn't. Oil began to rule the day again. And then oil company wanted to run a pipeline. And when that pipeline was going to go through a Dakota city, I think my mom was Bismarck, South Dakota, one of them, was going to go through there. And the city said, no, we're not going to, no. The possibilities of something happening, a line breaking, oil spills and so forth, no, you're not going to do that. Well, okay then. We're just running through the land of the indigenous people. Yeah, the native people. We're just running through their land. They didn't ask them. They didn't say nothing. They said, well, listen, let's powwow. We need to do this. We know we're trying to run this thing out of Canada all the way into the Midwest. We're going to do this. No. But they did it anyway. And it was demonstrations. If you can remember, it happened, you know, about 2016, 2017. And Trump was an investor. He was an investor in that in that pipeline. And so they did it. They did it anyway. And there were many organizations that went to the site and demonstrated and protested and so forth to no avail. And oil kept making, even today, Biden approved some more drilling for oil. You know, and of course, the oil companies of Saudi Arabia and the Arabian Peninsula and all the companies that are tremendously wealthy because of it. They're tremendously wealthy. So wealthy, man, that everybody is so rich, they got to import people from Philippines and from Africa. Well, if they import the men from Africa, they're going to be neutered. Yeah, they whacking their shit off for sure. You know? Yeah. To be servants and housekeepers and laborers, you know? And oil. And yet it's messing up the planet. They don't give a damn because it's right now. I don't care about what may happen 30 years down the road from now. I care about what's right now. I want to live right now. And if your ass is, if you're going to be living in some kind of dystopian environment and some kind, you know, with all the buildings, you know, caving in and, you know, radiation and so be it. That's the selfishness and greediness of the European. So selfish, so greedy, they don't want to share. Well, I'll tell you, who wants to share this planet unless you mess it up so damn bad? You don't want to listen to nobody. You don't give a damn about what anybody else says, what anybody else thinks. You are going to do what you're going to do. And that's what Dr. Wilson was saying. And we go along with it because we want a favor from Caucasians. We want to be like them. We want to be like them. And being like them only means our destruction. We need to develop an African-centered paradigm for ourselves, a shift, a social theory. As Dr. Bobby Wright said in this work, Psychopathic Racial Personality and Other Essays, if you haven't, it's a little small book, family. It's a small book, but powerful. Dr. Bobby Wright, outstanding. Yeah, out of Chicago. Died early, too. Yeah. A social theory. So, give us a call at 215-490-9832. We got a number of you in the queue. Hit star twice. Hit star twice, and you can join the conversation. Hit star twice as you're listening on your phone, and you can join the conversation. So if you don't hit it, I'm not going to open it up for you because I told you what to do, and I don't want to embarrass myself or you. So give us a call at 215-490-9832. The quest for me and the main focus of this program is to help elevate and open the African mind. The African mind. I mean, we end the program, every program, with the words of Stephen Biko, the most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. And they have captivated our minds. We can't think outside of the imposed boundaries that they have placed upon us to think independently, to think victoriously, as Mama Rimba would say. No. Mama Rimba says, to be truly liberated, to be truly liberated, African people must come to know the nature of European thought and behavior in order to understand the effect that the European has had on our ability to think victoriously. We can't envision that. We can't envision, because in the last hundreds of years, you've seen Europeans dogging us out everywhere on the continent with colonialism. They carrying his ass around. He's sitting in a damn chair being carried around by 4-6 brothers. And he's controlled all of the land. He has control. He built dungeons on the coast, particularly the coast of West Africa, so they could ship Africans to the Caribbean, Africans to South America, Africans to North America. He had a conference in Berlin, Germany, of 1884-85. Where Caucasians physically sat at a table with a big map of Africa and talked about carving it up like a piece of damn cake. I want this part. I'll take that part. With Belgium, the small country of Belgium, taking the prize, not knowing that it was the prize, but it is the heart. Belgium is the heart. Excuse me, not Belgium, yuck. But the Democratic Republic of Congo. The Democratic Republic of Congo is the heart of the landmass, the world landmass. If you talk about Pangaea being the supercontinent that it was supposed to bend, and then all what you see today on a map, all these other countries, they broke away from Pangaea. The middle of that was the Belgium Congo. They all broke away from Africa. It's not El Kabilon either. Stop it. It's Africa. We must be able to separate our thoughts from Europeans' thoughts. So to visualize a future that is not demanded and dominated by Europeans. This is demanded by an African-centered view. Because why? We are Africans. And because the future to which Europeans lead us, genocide. It's genocide. They want to eliminate us. No doubt. Especially when they understood that so-called race mixing, the offspring wouldn't look like them. Because our genes are dominant. There's our recessive. The situation when captivity was particularly the shipping of us from Africa to other parts of the world was frowned upon or was stopped. Many Africans were sent to Brazil and to the east coast of South America, Colombia. There are probably more Africans in Colombia, Venezuela, Brazil, Argentina. But when captivity, particularly the shipping of us, was over, Argentina said, well, ain't no more cotton to pick, ain't no more tobacco to pick, ain't no more sugar cane. And so their usefulness is over. We're going to get rid of them. What did they do? They mixed. They killed the brothers, mixed with the sisters, the offspring. From even when the brothers with the Caucasian Argentinian women, the offspring was taken and forbidden to be mixing with Africans. They were going to whiten. And that's what they did. Oh, they still got African DNA. But the world has African DNA. That's not the issue. But they wanted to eliminate that African. And so he got lighter and lighter. And for those, of course, who maybe had a feeling and a psychology of wanting to maintain their Africanness, they were eliminated. They were eliminated. Yeah, Venezuela. Too many Africans in Brazil. There's more Africans in Brazil than any. There are more Africans in the country of Brazil than any country except Nigeria. Yeah, more Africans in Brazil than in America. But we ain't running nothing there either. In fact, it's really pathetic and pitiful in Brazil the way we live. They don't have the safety. They don't have the government programs and the safety nets that I'm going to say fortunately we do, but still. So it is a better situation. And when you look at the Fafalas, I don't know if you've ever seen a picture, and you can go to YouTube and put in the slums of Brazil, or particularly in Rio. And of course, Rio is interesting, you know, where the people who have wealth and so forth live in Rio. They live near that bay that comes into there, you know, Rio, the beach, Copacabana, Ipanema, the beaches that are prominent and talked about, and of course, Carnival. Yeah, people, they live for carnival, man. Yeah. So, give us a call at 215-490-9832. Hit star twice and you can get in on the conversation. Hit star twice. Because like I said, a number of people have joined. If you just want to listen, you know that's good. For sure. Yeah, you know that's good. And so, when we don't run nothing, it's like in Rio. They were just starting to have a civil rights movement in the last 30 or 40 years, which, of course, ours was, you know, back in the 60s, 50s and 60s into the 70s. Theirs just started happening at the turn of the century. Yeah. So, everywhere we are, that's why Brother Emmett Wilson was saying, stop trying to be with these people. Love yourself. Love each other. Go home and help the brothers and sisters on the continent understand that the love that we need to have for each other so we can control our resources, so we can control our land, so we can tell others to get the hell off our land. And if you want something we have here, then you pay fair market value price for it. But if it's like what Howard Nichols, and if you don't hip to Howard Nichols, go to YouTube, put in Howard Nichols, that asshole, that son of a bitch. Every time I see him, every time I listen to him, when I play him, I want to jump through the, just pound him. Arrogant. But that's Caucasian. That's Yoruba. That's arrogant. We must keep Africa poor and begging. They must never be able to produce anything. They must always have those raw materials for us so we can do what we want to do. Yeah. Good afternoon, caller. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Is this LaRunette? LaRunette. We're Black Laws.
Hey man, I've been incognito. I had to.
You've been incognito. You've been incognito.
Not Negro.
Nigga. I heard that, brother.
Incognito. Incognito.
How you been? Good to hear your voice, man.
I'm hanging in there. I'm glad to see you still on, man.
Yeah. Oh yeah, man. I've been doing this for 10 years, man. I'll do this till I do this to win. You know, I'm trying to help put something on the minds of our people, brother. You know me. I've been doing this since you know me. Yep.
No doubt, man. You are an inspiration. Man. No doubt about that.
You know, I've been doing it ever since.
What's the word? Looking for your hanging in there-ness.
Well, I'm hanging.
I don't mean hanging.
Yeah,
I mean.
I hear you. So what's been happening, man?
Man, I've been working a little bit. That's why I haven't been,
Good. That's good. Then, hey, if I don't hear from you and you're working, doing some things, you know, a little change in your pocket, that's all good. I'm happy for you. You know, I'll always catch up with you. You know that, LaRue. Yeah. You been back to Omaha?
Nah, man. Omaha is so depressing.
Yeah.
What they doing to black people in Omaha, man, and how they got black people thinking in Omaha.
Yeah.
Not much different than anyplace else in the
right.
country, though.
That's true.
But because it was so close to me, it kind of hurts a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I see us doing what identifying with Europeans.
Yeah.
And man, with these phones, this technology, I mean, the child neglect that's going on behind it, and how we're giving ourselves up to the technology.
Yeah.
But it's
captivating. And once it grabs a hold of you, man, it takes your mind. That's the thing. We are at war for the minds of our people. And one of the most dangerous thing is what we see holding our hands all the time, because it gives us images and notions of who we aren't and who we could be.
Wait. Now look at this. There's positives and negatives in that. But if all we're using it for is entertainment, that's the problem.
That's the problem. Yep,
but some of us are using it for education.
Right.
You know, so.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So anyway, but what I see when I go to Omaha is not, I mean, because, you know, me and you, we think a lot alike.
Mm-hmm.
When I go there with my ideas and the way I'm thinking, they're not used to that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like Omaha has been cut off from the rest of the world. And they got their own little circle, and the people that run Omaha run control to some degree. Like Carter wouldn't say, you control a man's thinking. You don't have to worry about his actions.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. If you render him an outcast, he'll be an outcast. When you send him to the back door, even if there is no back door, he'll demand a back door because his conditioning has let it so.
Makes it necessary. Yeah. It's education.
Yep, it's education. Right. It's conditioning. Yeah.
Same thing.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, for those of us who advocate for us to love ourselves and be ourselves and do for ourselves, it's difficult, man. It's difficult because you're in a society, man, particularly. There are many young, you know, when we were coming up, we were the young people, and we gravitated to being black. I know I did. I gravitated to being African, to being a black man. I gravitated to doing something in the community. You know, the Black Panther Party, the NAACP Youth Council, all these other groups, other groups that were formulated and developed within our community to do something to help. You know, working with children and so forth, all those things. But now, you know, but see, not our understanding, we don't understand it. We live in a society that perpetuates and promotes individualism. And that's not who we are. We're not an individualistic group of people. We're a collective people. Individualism is a white desire. It's something that they crave. You know, that's why they don't want a redistribution of wealth. The wealth disparity is so damn ridiculous, it's just sickening when you have a individual who has billions of dollars at the expense of millions of people. I'm sorry, go ahead, brother Lulu. What'd you say?
That's so much money, man. It's almost beyond our comprehension.
Oh, it is. It is. You couldn't spend that amount of money in a lifetime. You could not spend that amount of money in a lifetime.
Man, but they spend it to promote their idea and their spirit. And it's all about, you know what? I've come to the conclusion, man, that's really all about spirit. It's not so much about skin color. Because we got black people or African people that look like white people, but they still got the African heart.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think if our focus, man, was more about spirituality than the physical world, I think we might be a little bit more successful.
Well, because I agree with you, because if we understood the importance of spirit, you know, as opposed to religion, you know, many of us, because of the religion that the European gave us. And many of us are holding on tight to that. I see it online, some people that I know, and they talk about, and they challenge evolution. And they challenge that. You know, no, that couldn't have happened. The God that, you know, made me in the image of, you know, as it says in the Bible. And they want to believe that the Bible is the infallible word of God. The Bible, oh, hell no. Or the Quran, hell no. That's our problem.
The concept of God, man, is one of the most important concepts we could ever have. And two most important concepts we could ever have, concept of God, our God, and self. Our God is not the same God that they worship.
Let me say this, brother. I would hope not. But the reality is that if it's framed in that Christian religion, it is. And that's, we want to say it's not, you know, we want to say, and of course there are some of us who paint God black or African, right. You know.
They take the European God and try to make him black, like right. A black Santa Claus.
Yeah, that's the same thing, you know. Yeah. You know,
a black Santa Claus.
Yeah.
But that's because we don't understand the laws of the spirit world.
Right.
And how the spirit world influences the physical world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So some of us have no problem with being a black Santa Claus. But look, I was taught, man, that if you take something away, you got to replace it with something. Because something is better than nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to take away the black Santa Claus, you got to replace it with something that connects us to our physical, mental, and spiritual sources. Now, especially we like to, as any people, we like to personify the spirits, our spirits. Mm-hmm. We try to make them like more like us and human than...
Sure. Because of that, because of the attributes of humans. So you say like an Ogun and Oshun and so forth, you know, or comedic deities, Jehudi and Heheru and, you know, so we do that. Human beings do that, you
okay.
know?
You know what? You know what? I like that. Because instead of saying Santa Claus that gives you the gifts, we could say, we could use those terms you just used. Mm-hmm. The different spirits of Ifa or whatever.
Right.
But we could make up our own as long as they connect us to our, not make them up, but recognize African spirits that, you know, it's like how they did in Haiti.
Yeah. Right, the Vodou. How they did in Haiti. I mean, they got together and they said, listen, and I, you know, I'm always duty bookman, you know, bookman duty. And you know, and what he said in the Haitian Revolution, he was Jamaican, but he came to Haiti through that trade. And he got down with Dessalines and all of them. And he told the people, said, hey, if you throw away the white man's God, because of course, Haitian was deeply Catholic. They brought that Catholicism shit to New Orleans.
They use that as a cover.
Yeah.
For their African updated religious practices.
Mm-hmm.
Vodou, what is it called? What did they use in Haiti?
Vodou.
Mm-hmm. So, but to escape, so they use that. They use Catholic as a cloak for Vodou.
Mm-hmm.
Well, right?
Yeah. Well, what he told the people, he said, throw away the white man's God, and you will be free. He didn't say you could be free. He said you might be free. He said possibly you'd be free. No, he said, throw it away. You will be free. And of course, that's what they did at the time that the revolution was happening. And then, of course, eventually, you know, that theology was once again reinstituted. You know,
what I'm saying is that if you throw something away, you got to replace it with something.
Yep.
And that's, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because we got to fill that void. And so we fill that void with African spirits, thoughts, and beliefs.
Yeah.
Because of the pressure of the time, at that time, we had to do it that way because, you know, what was going on.
Yeah.
There, you know what? We made adjustments under slavery that helped save us then, but they are not working for us now. And that's what we need to recognize because we're so caught up in tradition. And we're practicing traditions that we don't even understand.
Right, because they're not our traditions. They're not ours.
Or, there were adjustments that we had to make under slavery, and then... But right, the spirit of them, the core of it, is not ours. So we practice, let's say, Christianity in an African way.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not ours. So now we're stuck in that tradition of practicing, of being Christians, doing it in an African way. And the sign of it is that the African church, the black church, if you want to call it that, it's not the same spirit as the European church.
It's not the same spirit, but because of the doctrines are the same. And that influences so deep And many of us are afraid to, because that's the thing about Christianity. More so, I'm not sure too much about Islam in terms of instilling fear into the subjects of whoever follows that theology. Christianity is loaded, you know, with the devil and burning in hell and, you know, all this old kind of shit. So, you know, deeply putting fear into you. And that can control a people, you know, that can control a person, you know. You're afraid to make a move and you question everything that is this something that would be affront to my religion, to my God, you know, to Christianity. Christianity as a religion is, man, very dogmatic. The dogma around it is deep, you know.
And it's designed to serve the mental, spiritual needs of white people.
Yeah. But it is made to serve them, but it has been impacted on us because we follow their ass, you know. And we
it's like Amos Wilson said. It's like you said, when we take on theirs, we serve them.
That's right.
That was a beautiful piece, man. I like that, what you did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm always trying, Brother LaRue. You've known me for a long time, brother. Yes, sir. How's Matthew, man? You heard from him?
Hey, Matthew's been dead for years, man.
Oh, that's right. I apologize. That's right. Matthew passed. Matthew Stelly.
Years.
Yeah.
I don't know how many years it's been now.
Yeah.
Yeah. He still shows up in my dreams, though.
That was your buddy, man. Yeah.
Man, he ain't dead.
Yep. And no, his spirit lives on, man. His spirit lives on.
Man.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a good brother, man.
He's going to make sure he's alive or dead. He's still, his spirit is still alive. But, you know, the state of his body, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But this spirit, man.
And that's the thing. Yeah. We're spiritual people. That's why I talk about it. But see, people, you know, make fun of that being spiritual. You're spiritual, you know. Yeah, well, it's better, you know, to be spiritual than to be a person who deals with the theology and the religion as opposed to, you know, there was a piece. Let me see if I can find that piece that talks about religion against theology, you know. And
But everything has a physical and a non-physical side.
Right, right.
And that what we call non-physical is really spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Europeans got their spirit, and African, black African people, we got our spirit. How we define ourselves, man, I think we need to readdress that too as a people, mm-hmm. in the diaspora. As we say black, but black don't necessarily mean African. And we say African, and African don't necessarily mean black.
Right.
So we got, I'm really, I'm kind of miss having somebody to talk to on this level that we're talking on.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of rare. And you provide that, man, an opportunity for us to. For people like me.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Definitely, because we need to do that. We need to have discussion. We need, you know, one of the things that helps us get through this madness is the discussions, you know?
Exactly. And as we do it, we learn and we grow.
Right. Yeah.
Man. So I'm not working anymore. You know,
Okay, well, I'll be hearing from you a lot more now, I guess, man. So, you know, Kwanzaa's coming up. Yeah.
I know. Man, it's amazing, man, how we are in a, and with Christmas coming up, man.
Mm-hmm.
Black people, some of us.
Yeah.
Ones that don't even question the nature of Christmas. We just do it because we think it's
ridiculous. Bro, yeah, we do it because we've been trained to do it. And of course, many of us celebrate it, you know, because that's what we've known. We've been trained that way. And it was a good feeling for some of us at the time. Our families were together. We may have some money. We may have had the ability to, you know, shower gifts and so forth. Yeah.
You know what? But this is what I observed with my experience.
Mm-hmm.
Certain going into families and stuff, that when we're celebrating Christmas, not that many families, but they don't really talk about Santa Claus that much.
Mm-hmm.
They don't talk about, they might talk about Jesus a little bit. But even though we're celebrating Christmas, it's not the same kind of Christmas that Europeans celebrate. We're trying to make that adjustment, even on a spiritual and a subconscious level.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So maybe over time, man. I mean, you know how so when you get in trouble real quick, but it takes a long time to get out of it.
Yeah. Yep, so, that's for sure.
I mean, that's what we are as a people.
Yeah. I wish I could put that religion versus spirituality up, had it at hand. But, I mean, that's the thing. We, you know, Stevie Wonder said it best. When you believe in things you don't understand, you suffer. Yep. We are suffering people because we don't we think we do it. This has been, you know, imposed upon us, given to us, and dictated to us, you know. We've gone through the rituals of it. You see, African men in the Anglican Church. You see African men and women, in the European Church, Methodist, Lutheran, so forth and so on. You know, you see African people, of course, in Islam, and we know what Islam has done to Africans, man. You know.
Right.
I mean, they have dogged us out, you know.
Man.
Yeah. And still, all throughout North Africa, and still, you know. So.
Because they know that even they know.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say that loud. Our spirit and their spirit are two different spirits.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about that, you know. Yeah, but the theology, which was imposed upon us, is controlled and dictated by them.
And so, you know what?
Yes, we may do some stuff within our church differently than what Caucasians would do. Just like, you know, all the comedians say, yeah, I love black church, man. You can get a show for your money, you know. The preacher, yeah, well, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, I'm over time, man, talking with you, brother. I got to go.
Is that something?
Yeah, my time. Man, see how it goes when you're having fun, man.
Hey, when we living and learning.
That's right.
It's going to fit.
Right on. LaRue Ned, appreciate
morning,
you,
man. That's fun.
It's good to hear from you. I look forward to hearing from you more, brother. Okay.
Yeah, yes, sir.
All right, brother.
Glad to see you soon, man.
Right on.
Bye.
Peace.
Bye.
Wow. Who are you? Hello. Good afternoon. Who are you?
Hello, Bubba Ochi. Yeah. How you doing, Bubba?
Oh, man. What's up? If I'd have known that was you, you should have cut in or something, man.
No, what's up, Brother Paul? Yeah, the brother had something to say, man. It had to flow. But hear what Baba Ochi, I know we ain't got a lot of time, so I'm not gonna drag it on. But you know that magician guy, I never heard of him, right?
Yeah.
But that piece you suggested to look at, I had a quick look at it and it really touched me, man.
Oh, right
and
on.
It touched me in a funny way because it just was an exhibition on. Oh man, it really touched me, man. It moved me in a funny way.
Right on.
The way he reignited the ancestor, man, that was powerful. Wasn't stuff. Powerful?
I'm telling you, I agree, Brother Paul. It is, and that's why I brought it to the attention of our brothers and sisters here to try to find and look at it. Stuff. It is
powerful, and I just want to say this here. You know, Baba Ochi, you know, when I hear people say like they give up on the young, and all this nonsense, and I do think it's nonsense, man. Because here's an example of a young man who's taken his talent. I think he used to be a breakdancer in hip hop. Okay. I was just reading about him. I never heard of him. And okay. He's now taken that talent, moved it to another level, and he hasn't forgotten who he is, and he's bringing it to the forefront.
Oh, yeah.
And there are many, and listen, let me tell you something. There are many young people. Look, this thing about, oh, they've got the young people, all that, it's total rubbish. Your last guest talked about a spirit, right? And one thing I have to differ with him on, you can't lose your spirit. The only thing is, everybody's got spirit. Whites, blacks, everybody got spirit. But the problem, the thing is that you stop listening, you stop paying attention to it because of the indoctrination. The indoctrination keeps you in the materialistic world. You keep talking about Bill. You never met Bill, but you're telling me about you got to pay Bill. And these are the things this material world keeps you on. So you don't listen no more to your spirit. It disconnects you from it, but you never lose it. And I just want to say one last thing. Have you ever heard of let me use this expression. I don't love always to use this expression. African-American called Bullard. Eugene Bullard?
No, I haven't. Eugene Bullard?
Well, you know, no. I just learned about him recently. And I'm not saying that he fought in this First World War, but what touched me about this man is his serious energy and courage. And he just reminded me of that kind of spirit we possessed. Look him up, man. And I mean, he fought in the First World War.
Eugene Bullard. Okay, I'm writing him out right now.
I'm just saying, you brought an example of a young man. Here's a man who, you know, this kind of spirit which we possess and we've forgotten about.
Hello, are you still there?
Seriously, touch me.
Okay.
Keep up the good work and keep the fire burning.
Thank you, Brother Paul. Thank you, man. I'm glad I got you in, man. You have a blessed day. All right. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the MIND, but the MINE, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep, that means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Vahardier means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day. Hope to see you on Wednesday. Peace.